Bill, here we are in July and August, and we have lots of high temperatures and humidity. And water vapor is something we cannot see, taste, feel, or smell. Why should a heat treater be so concerned about humidity?
In the heat treating business, particularly in the vacuum heat treating business, all of us know that in the summertime, particularly the months of June, July, and August, we have troubles sometimes pumping the furnace down, or we experience discolored work coming out of the furnace. And the problem is it's the result of high humidity, particularly for those of us who live east of the Mississippi River, where we have very humid conditions.
What are the conditions where water vapor becomes a problem?
We become concerned when the humidity is over 50%. And in fact, in the solar plants, we have alarm lights that tell us when the humidity is over 50%. And then we will exercise special operating procedures to help purge the water vapor out of the furnace.
Bill, I've heard you refer to water vapor inside a vacuum furnace as being sticky. What do you mean by that?
If you go back into the vacuum science books written by people like Morris Ablanian and so forth, they will describe water vapor inside a vacuum chamber as multiple molecular layers. And when you pump a vacuum chamber down, the remaining residual gas is water vapor. The problem is that as you try to continually pump down, you have almost 100% water vapor in the furnace. Not quite, but almost. And the water vapor molecule tends to strip out of the chamber almost molecular layer by molecular layer. And they have referred to this, that is the scientific people, have referred to this water vapor molecule as being very sticky.
All vacuum furnaces have pumping systems to evacuate the air from inside the vacuum vessel and the hot zone. Why not just rely on the vacuum pumps to remove the water vapor?
The problem comes about because, for instance, in the roughing pump, which is the normal Stokes type model 412 or 212, which is oil sealed, when you rough pump the furnace down, the water vapor tends to be collected or trapped or go into solution with the vacuum pump oil. So the vacuum pump itself becomes contaminated with water vapor. For example, if you start out with a brand new vacuum pump, which hasn't been pumped on any chamber, and blanked it off, it would pump down to around 10 microns. Then if you take that very same pump and pump down a vacuum chamber, a fairly large vacuum chamber, let's say, you will find that now it will only pump down to maybe 25 microns. If you subsequently backfill and then pump down the same chamber again and again, slowly the blank off pressure of that pump will deteriorate to eventually you will not be able to pump it down below, let us say, 100 microns. So in order to compensate for that, those of us in the industry who've had many years of experience, what we have done is put a roots blower in front of the standard roughing pump, the piston pump as we call it, which gives us about a 10-to-1 boost in pumping speed. That lets us consistently pump down, even in the presence of water, to pressures of the order of 50 microns and below.
What's your practical advice to heat treaters in order to reduce the adverse effects of humidity on a vacuum furnace?
Well, of course, if you can take and put the vacuum furnace or the vacuum chamber into an air-conditioned room, that's the obvious answer. However, that is not at all practical for most of us. The other very important point is that you must keep the temperature of the vacuum chamber vessel over the ambient temperature. For instance, if the plant temperature is 80 degrees Fahrenheit, then the water-cooled vessel should be at least 5 degrees hotter than the ambient. In that way, you will prevent condensation inside the chamber when you open it in order to charge it with work. That's a minimal answer to the problem. There are other things you can do, but that is probably the most important one. Secondarily, though, I could say that it's very important that when you open the furnace to air to load it, that open time be absolutely minimal. And whenever the vacuum furnace is not in use, then you close the vessel and re-evacuate it and keep it under vacuum until the next cycle. But you do not let it stand open to the atmosphere.
Bill, is there a procedure you recommend for heat treaters to follow to minimize the impact of water vapor on the operation of the vacuum furnace?
Yes, there is. The two points that I already covered, the one about the vacuum chamber temperature and also not leaving the furnace open to air, are really paramount. However, following that, after you have loaded the furnace, and then when you have pumped it down, what can be done to help strip water vapor out of not only the workload, but the insulation in the chamber itself, is to backfill the furnace to atmospheric pressure approximately with either nitrogen or argon, and then repump the furnace back down again. By doing that, you will strip water vapor out of the chamber, help push the moisture through the vacuum pumps, and you'll clean up the atmosphere in the furnace considerably. Sometimes a second, as we call atmospheric purge, is desirable, but they are the two important things you can do. Another procedure is to slow the furnace ramp rate. Normally, when we ramp a furnace, we will ramp it at something like 15 to 20 degrees a minute. Whenever you ramp a furnace in temperature, you will cause outgassing to occur. And if you have a significant water vapor load in the furnace, slowing the heating rate will slow the outgassing ramp and allow the vacuum system to pump and handle the gas load over a longer period of time. So, to slow the ramp rate down to maybe 10 degrees per minute or 5 degrees per minute is a recommended procedure.
Do you have any advice concerning the pre-cleaning of the workload that may be contaminated with drawing or lubricating oils prior to charging into the vacuum furnace?
Yes. The first advice is that nothing should go into the vacuum furnace that isn't clean. That's sometimes very difficult because all metals go into the furnace with some minute form of oils or drawing fluids or what have you. If the product is badly contaminated, it should be pre-cleaned in a vapor degreaser. The advice that I really want to communicate is that wiping down large surface areas with alcohol is very unwise. Alcohol likes to absorb water vapor from the atmosphere. And once you have coated the metal surfaces with alcohol, and then the resultant water vapor from the plant air is absorbed, and that goes into the furnace, it amplifies that problem significantly. It is better to live with a very slight amount of oil on the product than to try to clean it with alcohol.
What about work thermocouples? What kind of work thermocouples would you suggest to use in a vacuum furnace under humid conditions?
Classically, in the workaday world, we like to use Refacil cloth Type K work thermocouples because they are inexpensive, they have reasonable life, and they are easy to use and end in the furnace and so forth. The problem, however, is that Refacil, being a ceramic-based material, can absorb moisture out in the atmosphere. And then when you place it into the furnace, the moisture will easily evaporate and pump out and contaminate the vacuum furnace atmosphere. This can be very significant depending on the number of thermocouples that are in the furnace, their size, and how long prior they have been exposed to the atmosphere. For example, a Refacil thermocouple that has been sitting around for a week will be absolutely loaded with water and will be much more difficult to deal with in the outgassing. One thing that can be done is that the Refacil thermocouples, once baked out, can be kept in a storage box and where they'll kept dry with desiccant. A better and a more recommended method would be not to use the Refacil thermocouples, but to use an Inconel sheath or stainless steel clad thermocouple that now does not have the Refacil to deal with. I might point out, many times in the furnace, we will also have ceramic materials, separator plates or stop-off plates in brazing, and all ceramics exhibit this same problem, where they will absorb moisture, particularly in the atmosphere, and then when you put them into the furnace, they will outgas water vapor and contaminate the atmosphere. So, these types of ceramic blocks or plates must be carefully stored, baked out, and treated accordingly.
For more information on humidity, please visit our website at www.solarmfg.com to view the complete technical booklet, Operating a Vacuum Furnace Under Humid Conditions. There you will find several other important topics in our technical reference series. Thank you for listening.